Welcome to the Nowracast Tech Briefing. You know, it feels like every time a new frontier model drops, the goalposts for artificial general intelligence just move a little bit further away.
Or maybe we're just finally building benchmarks that test actual fluid reasoning, instead of just measuring how much of the internet a model has successfully memorized. It's a harsh reality check.
We are going to get deep into that reality check today. Anthropic just released Claude Opus 5, and the response from the ARC AGI leaderboard is, frankly, pretty sobering for the entire industry.
We're also tracking a massive state-level AI deployment. Oklahoma just rolled out a centralized AI platform for over 125 different state agencies. It's a fascinating look at how bureaucracy is actually adopting this tech.
And later in the roundup, we'll hit on a new release for infinite context memory, the rise of specialized memory ETFs for retail investors, and why Android might be locking down on-device debugging.
Plus, the multi-billion dollar market for brand-sponsored AI influencers.
Let's dive in.
Let's start with the latest from Anthropic. On July 24th, they officially rolled out Claude Opus 5. They are positioning this as their high-performance flagship model, specifically targeted at complex agentic coding and enterprise tasks. The technical specs on this are substantial. We're looking at a 1 million token context window, which has kind of become the new baseline for frontier models, but it's paired with a 128,000 max output token limit. That's huge for generating massive code bases or writing extensive multi-chapter reports in a single shot. Most models cap out way before that, forcing you to stitch responses together.
Exactly. And they've got thinking enabled by default. So the model is architected to naturally pause and reason through multi-step logic before it starts generating its final output. It's not just predicting the next token in a vacuum. It's actively planning its response pathway, which is crucial for the kind of autonomous agent workflows they're targeting.
What really stands out, though, is the pricing strategy. Anthropic is claiming that Opus 5 delivers the intelligence level of their previous Fable 5 model, but they're offering it at approximately half the price.
That's an incredibly aggressive move. It shows that the industry is shifting away from just building the smartest possible chatbot and moving toward enabling true agentic workflows. If you have an autonomous agent that's making hundreds of API calls, reading documentation, and iterating on a task for hours, cost is the absolute primary bottleneck.
You simply can't afford to run those long horizon workflows if every single inference step costs a premium. By slashing the price while maintaining Fable 5 levels of intelligence, Anthropic is clearly trying to corner the enterprise developer market. They want Opus 5 to be the default engine running in the background of every major corporate IT department.
Anthropic is also leaning heavily into safety with this release, which is entirely on brand for them. Their internal behavioral audits claim that Opus 5 is their most aligned model to date. They specifically noted it has the lowest rates of deceptive behavior among all their models, which is a big deal when you're giving an AI agency over your systems.
But it's interesting where they draw the line on capabilities. Despite the improved reasoning engine, Anthropic intentionally excluded certain cybersecurity capabilities. They're making a deliberate structural choice to throttle the model in areas that could be dual use, like vulnerability discovery or automated exploit generation.
Which is a stark contrast to some of the open-weight models we've been covering, especially those coming out of China, where the capabilities are generally unleashed without those same guardrails. But even with Opus 5's safety measures, it's raising serious questions about the sheer speed of these releases. This is the fourth Claude 5 series model we've seen in just 2 months.
Right. And if I'm an enterprise trying to integrate this into my production environment, that pace is actually a nightmare. You spend weeks evaluating, red teaming, and building infrastructure around a specific model. You get your prompts dialed in perfectly. And by the time you're finally ready to deploy, there's already a cheaper, smarter version available, which might respond entirely differently to your prompts. It creates this constant integration churn.
And the gap between standardized benchmarks and real-world performance is still a major issue. Early user reports are saying that while Opus 5 looks phenomenal on paper, dropping it into a messy, undocumented legacy codebase can be incredibly frustrating. It still struggles when the context is ambiguous or contradictory.
It's the classic AI deployment problem right now. These models are brilliant in a sterile, vacuum-like testing environment, but they struggle with fluid intelligence, the ability to adapt when the environment doesn't perfectly match their training data, or when the instructions are inherently flawed.
Speaking of struggling with fluid intelligence, Francois Cholet's ARC AGI leaderboard just got a major update, and it is a brutal reality check for these very frontier models we're talking about.
If listeners aren't familiar, the Abstraction and Reasoning Corpus, or ARC, was created back in 2019 by Cholet, who was a prominent AI researcher. The entire goal was to measure fluid intelligence and actual skill acquisition efficiency on completely novel tasks. He wanted a benchmark that couldn't be gamed just by memorizing the internet.
Right, because traditional benchmarks like the bar exam or standard coding tests are heavily represented in the training data of these models. ARC is different, and they just launched ARC AGI 3 back in March of this year. This is a massive leap from the static grid puzzles of the previous versions.
Exactly. ARC AGI 3 is an interactive benchmark. The AI agents actually have to explore, manipulate, and adapt to novel environments on the fly. They can't just look at an image and guess the answer. They have to interact, see the results of their actions, and update their mental model of the environment.
As of this July update, the results are in, and they are grim. Frontier models, including Claude Opus 5 and OpenAI's GPT 5.6, are scoring anywhere from 0 to 7% compared to human-level performance.
0 to 7%. That is a staggering drop-off when you consider these exact same models are passing medical boards and writing complex software. It exposes a massive vulnerability in how we're currently building AI.
It really highlights the difference between test-time compute and actual architectural intelligence. We can give these models more time to think, we can wrap them in sophisticated agentic loops and prompt them to take a deep breath and work step by step. But if they encounter a problem that requires genuine, on-the-fly reasoning that isn't represented anywhere in their training distribution, they just hit a brick wall.
It makes you wonder if the current scaling laws for large language models are actually hitting a fundamental ceiling. The prevailing wisdom has been that if we just keep throwing more compute and more data at the transformer architecture, general intelligence will eventually emerge. But ARC AGI 3 strongly suggests that approach might not be enough.
There's an active debate in the research community about whether the benchmark itself is entirely fair.
Some critics argue that ARC AGI heavily favors human-like priors, innate knowledge about physics, object permanence, or geometry that a machine might not strictly need to possess to be considered generally intelligent.
That's a fair criticism. A machine intelligence might look very different from human intelligence, but it doesn't change the fact that there is an $850,000 prize pool on the line for the ARC Prize 2026. The final submission deadline is coming up on November 2nd, so we're going to see a lot of researchers desperately trying to crack this over the next few months.
I'll be watching closely to see if anyone can break out of that single-digit range. If a team manages to hit even 20 or 30% by November, it would likely require a completely new architectural approach, like neurosymbolic AI or something fundamentally different from a standard transformer model. It's arguably the most important metric to watch right now if you care about the path to AGI. While the AI labs fight over fundamental reasoning benchmarks, state governments are just trying to get the technology working for basic services. Oklahoma just launched a massive enterprise AI platform called Beacon.
This officially went live on July 24th, and it's being spearheaded by Tai Fan, who is Oklahoma's very first chief AI and technology officer. The scale here is impressive. It's designed to serve more than 125 different state agencies, boards, and commissions.
What I find fascinating here is the structural approach they're taking. Typically, government IT is incredibly fragmented. But instead of letting every individual agency run off and buy their own AI tools or build a bunch of isolated one-off pilot projects,
Beacon is a centralized infrastructure.
Right. They are standardizing the governance, the data pipelines, and the security protocols across the entire state government. They currently have two Lighthouse applications in beta testing to prove the concept. One is an administrative rules modernization tool, and the other is a procurement guidance assistant.
Procurement and administrative rules aren't exactly glamorous. They don't make for flashy headlines, but they are the absolute lifeblood of state bureaucracy. If you can use AI to speed up how agencies handle regulatory review or help employees navigate the incredibly dense state purchasing process, you're talking about millions of dollars in saved time and taxpayer money.
The risk, of course, is what happens when the AI gets it wrong. If a procurement assistant hallucinates a specific purchasing requirement or misinterprets a complex bidding rule, and a state employee follows that advice to award a contract, who is ultimately liable? You're dealing with public funds and strict legal compliance.
That's exactly why they wanted a centralized platform. By keeping everything under the Beacon umbrella, the state can theoretically monitor the outputs, manage the data security, and enforce strict guardrails much better than if the Department of Transportation and the Department of Health were using completely different vendors with different security standards.
It's a huge test case for public sector AI. We're going to see if a centralized, top-down platform can effectively balance the need for rapid technological innovation with the very real, very sensitive risks of AI bias and data security in government operations.
And how they measure success beyond just development speed will be critical. It's one thing to say you deployed an AI tool quickly. It's another to prove it actually works. If these Lighthouse apps actually improve the accuracy of bureaucratic work without introducing new errors or biases, I guarantee you every other state in the country will be calling Oklahoma's chief AI officer asking for the blueprint. It could become the standard model for government AI adoption.
All right, let's hit a few more stories real quick before we wrap up.
Sounds good. Let's start with a new release for developers trying to give their AI agents a better memory.
The open source tool ICM, or Infinite Context Memory, just pushed release candidate 142. It's designed to provide persistent, cross-tool memory for coding agents using a single SQLite database.
Right. So if you switch from Claude Code to Cursor, your AI doesn't lose track of all the project-specific decisions it just learned. This update adds dynamic loading for the ONNX runtime, which should speed up memory retrieval. But since it's still in pre-1.0 development, developers shouldn't treat this as a permanent data store just yet.
Shifting to hardware, the Motley Fool is highlighting the Roundhill Memory ETF, ticker symbol DRAM, as a key play for retail investors. It's an actively managed fund focused entirely on memory and storage chips.
Memory is a massive bottleneck for AI right now. High bandwidth memory is so constrained that Morgan Stanley predicts memory will make up 40% of data center capital spending by 2030, up from just 12% today. But with a 0.65% expense ratio, investors have to weigh if this concentrated bet is better than just holding a broad semiconductor index like SOXX.
On the consumer side, the global virtual influencer market is projected to hit nearly $46 billion by 2030. Brands are increasingly using computer-generated personas to create content that mimics user-generated testimonials.
It's a transparency nightmare. A recent study by Billion Dollar Boy found 76% of consumers claim to trust these virtual influencers, but many probably don't even realize they're interacting with an algorithm. Right now, there are no universal, legally binding disclosure rules for this in the US or UK. Though the EU's AI Act is starting to push labeling requirements.
Over in the Android ecosystem, discussions in the Google Issue Tracker suggest they might soon restrict on-device Android Debug Bridge, or ADB, connections.
This would be a massive blow to the power user community. On-device ADB is what allows tools like Shizuku to execute shell commands without needing root access. Google is pushing for a more secure, walled garden approach with Android 16, but locking down local debugging is going to face huge pushback from developers who rely on it for system-wide modifications.
Finally, Professor Hannah Fry from the University of Cambridge has been awarded the 2026 Leela Vahdi Prize,
It's a major international award presented every 4 years specifically for outstanding contributions to public awareness of mathematics.
The citation highlighted her creative approach and her uncanny skill in attracting young women to the field. In an era where AI is doing so much of the heavy computational lifting, recognizing the people who actually make mathematical literacy accessible and relatable to the general public is more important than ever.
And that is going to do it for today's briefing.
Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with more updates from the edge of tech.
See you then.